Surely those of us that have been born again and are walking in that newness of life have a very grave responsibility to walk in a way that is well-pleasing to the Lord. We have been redeemed, redeemed at a cost that cost heaven much, that Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, part of the Godhead, had to come down here upon this earth and take upon himself flesh and blood and show us the way by example and bring to us the words of the Father and then die upon a cross and shed his precious blood as that perfect Lamb of God and then be buried and then on that third day to rise again. That our names can be written in the Lamb's book of life. We have been redeemed. We have been bought back to the Father. We have been given a name of a son and a daughter of the living God. Much has been given unto us. Many promises have been given unto us through God's word. And so because of all these things, we need to be walking worthy of the Lord, walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, as Ephesians 4 says, walking in a manner that's well-pleasing to the Lord and walking in a way that is a light to those to whom we would interact with. The Apostle Paul had been a mentor to Timothy and many others. And the Apostle Paul, in his great love for Timothy, calling him even his own son in the Spirit, had taken the time to write to him two epistles and had encouraged him and had mentored him and had shown him what he needs to do. And in one point in the previous epistle, in the first epistle, he says that he ought to be an example of the believers. And so when we consider that we have all been redeemed, and it cost heaven much that we would be redeemed, and that our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we are now being referred to as believers in God, that we ought to be an example to those round about us. The best example that we can look to is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we look to Jesus, we need to consider that others are watching us. And so in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We are being watched. There's a great cloud of witnesses round about us. Our family is observing us. Our fellow believers are observing us. Those who we work with are observing us. Those who we go to school with are observing us. They're watching us. How is this believer behaving himself? And so we are to lay aside every weight and that sin which doth so easily beset us, and we are to run with patience that race that is set before us. And who do we look to? We look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He who is the beginning and the end, the author, he who put to paper with pen our faith, the author and the finisher who completed it. That is Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God and of the throne of God. So likewise, we are to be in a good example to those that are round about us. We are to live in a manner that is well-pleasing to the Lord. And again, ultimately, we look to Jesus Christ, but we can look to others in the Scriptures too. We think of Stephen in the Acts of the Apostles. The Bible says that he was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. He was selected as one who was upstanding, one who was an example of the believers, full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. So if he was full of the Holy Ghost and we are full of the Holy Ghost, that means that self has to be displaced. It can't be in us anymore. Self has to be removed so that we can be full of the Holy Ghost. And when we are full of the Holy Ghost, then we can be as Stephen was when he faced opposition. And those who opposed him were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit that he had, that was in him. And so we are to be an example of the believers. And we are to glorify his name. We are to please him well. And so now as we consider this passage of scripture that we read here together, if we look at verses number 19 and 21, 22, we can see that there are two aspects of being an example of the believers. The first is that as we pray together, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This is how we can be an example of the believers. As we're looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, as we look to examples in the Bible of even Stephen, one who was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, who was filled with righteousness and with the Spirit and with the wisdom of God, and he departed from iniquity. So that's one aspect of being an example of the believers, is to depart from iniquity. The other aspect found in verse number 22 says, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. We are to depart from iniquity and then follow after righteousness, faith, charity, love, and peace. And when we do so, we will be a good example of the believers to those in our household, to those in church, to those in the workplace, to those in the schools, to those to whom we interact with in the marketplace or wherever it is that we are a good example of the believers. We don't do iniquity anymore. We depart from that. We depart from anger and wrath, evil speaking, and all iniquity, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. We depart from all of that, and we follow after righteousness. We follow after faith in him who can do all things. And we follow in love, because he called us to follow the two greatest commandments that are recorded in the scripture: to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. We walk in this way, and then we are an example of the believers, and that we do so in a peaceful manner, in the way of peace, because God is a God of peace. So let's consider these scriptures this morning with that in mind. We are to be an example of the believers, departing from iniquity and following, going in the way of righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. He begins this chapter by saying, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in this grace. You know, when we think of Timothy, he was a young man, but he had some issues. He had some issues. And the Apostle Paul had addressed some of his weaknesses, of some of his failings, by saying in chapter 5, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. Thy often infirmities. Young Timothy had some infirmities that were inhibiting him in some way of life, were making him to be weak in some physical way. And he would be often getting sick. He had these often infirmities and perhaps stomach issues. And yet the Apostle Paul is saying, be strong, be strong. Well, how is he to be strong if he's weak, if he has these infirmities? He's saying, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. To be strong in him, to allow himself to be, again, displaced, removed, and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. to be filled with the power that comes from on high. In Zechariah we read, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." It's not by our might. It's not by our power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. It's by what he can do. And so the Apostle Paul was telling Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the Spirit. Because it's not by your power and it's not by your might. And the Apostle Paul also had his own infirmities. And he gloried in those infirmities, as he writes there in 2 Corinthians. And so we do well when we recognize it's not by our might, it's not by our power, but by his Spirit. By his Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ, before he ascended back to the Father, he told his disciples, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." That's where your power will come from, by the Holy Ghost, which has come upon you. And the Apostle Paul also recognized this, and the Apostle Peter recognized it when the Apostle Peter says, "Why are you looking on us as if by our own power we made this man to walk?" And he clearly gave glory to the Lord. And so Jesus is telling his disciples, you're beginning your mission. You're beginning your work in the vineyard and in the kingdom of God. You're beginning that. And you will receive power from on high after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then he further says, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. You're going to be witnesses. You're going to be an example of the believers. People are going to be watching you. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the Gentiles, the Roman government, the Roman soldiers, the centurions, they're all going to be watching you, and you're going to be a witness unto them. And the Apostle Paul tells young Timothy, be an example of the believers. I couldn't find it before, and I'm finally laid eyes on it. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12, where the Apostle Paul tells young Timothy, let no man despise your youth. Don't let anybody find fault with you being young. But he says, but be thou an example of the believers. Be thou an example of the believers. So as you're in Ephesus, where the Apostle Paul had left Timothy for some time, and then in all the other places where Timothy was, wherever it was, he was to be an example of the believers in word, and he lists six things here, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. The Apostle Paul was charging young Timothy, be an example of the believers in these six things. And two are very clear, in your speech, in word, and in your conduct, in your conversation. Be an example of the believers. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not your own power, because you have none. You have many infirmities. But be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Allow that Holy Spirit to work through you. Depart from iniquity and follow after righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And then he says further, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. When we think of an endurance, it's when we keep going toward the end. You know, the first mile of a marathon isn't quite the hard one. It's the last mile of the marathon that's the hard one. And he's saying, endure, endure. Make it all the way till the end. I'm just brought to mind when Jesus was speaking about the end of the world, and he says, but he that endureth until the end, the same shall be saved. When we endure all the way till the end, and there's going to be tribulations, there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be conflicts that we will go through in life, but through those we are to depart from iniquity. Don't revert back to wrath. and anger and hatred and pride. Depart from that and follow after righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. And so as we go through these conflicts in life and these difficulties, and Jesus says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Endure then until the end. Endure all the way till the end. By the grace of God. Not by your might, not by your power, but by his Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Endure that hardness. And he speaks here of, again, of being an example of the believers in word and in conduct. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that we read this morning, he speaks of things that regard speech or words. And one of them is found here in verse number 2. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So be an example of the believers in word. And Timothy was to recall those things that the Apostle Paul preached when he was in Thessalonica, in Berea, in Philippi, in Athens, in Corinth, and in all the places where he was with Timothy. And Timothy was to recall those things and commit those same things to faithful men who would be able to perpetuate, continue the word of God and the gospel. This is done by word. This is done by word. And then, skipping down to verse number 14, the Apostle Paul is charging Timothy, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Put these words in remembrance, and that these words would not be to no profit, but that these words would be profitable, would be encouraging. And so we are to be mindful of that when we depart from iniquity, what comes out of our mouth means that only good comes from our mouth, not those things which regard iniquity, but then that we would follow after righteousness. And those words that would come out of our mouth would be that of righteousness. That would be that of an exclamation of faith. I can't do this. I don't have strength. I don't have knowledge. I don't know what lies ahead, but I have faith. And making an expression of that, confessing our faith in the Lord Jesus, who can do all things, and who will be with us even until the end. Making that confession of faith. And then, with our mouth also, speaking words of love. Words of love. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by the love that ye have one toward another. Speaking forth in love. This is being an example of the believers. And then peace. Bringing forth words of peace. Words of comfort. Words to encourage others. And then, conversely, there are words here that he warns about in verse number 16. He says, but shun profane and vain babblings. Those things that don't have any value. They're just simply babblings. They're not even considered words that would have any meaning, but they're just simply vain and they're profane. And he speaks of Hymenaeus and Philetus who brought forth words that were profane and vain, saying that the resurrection is past already and have overthrown the faith of some. And then in verse number 23, he also speaks of our words, that they need to be of a good example of a believer. And he says that foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. They do gender strifes. That's what foolish and unlearned questions generate. They generate strife. But we read in Proverbs that a soft answer puts away wrath. And so we are to be an example of the believers in our word, even as the Apostle Paul had spoken to Timothy there in chapter 4, verse 12, being an example of the believers. Then he speaks here back in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that we read this morning, not only of words, of being an example of the believers, but also indeed. Being an example in deed. And he brought to them different deeds of people who had different occupations that they of this time and even us today, we can relate to and we can understand this. Where he says in verse number 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." They were familiar with the Roman soldiers that were a part of their life. They understood their role. They understood the training that they went through. They understood that they needed to report to the centurion. They understood all these things. And the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, be a good soldier, but not of the Roman government or of an army that could possibly form of the Israelites. But he's saying, but a good soldier of Jesus Christ. As we endure hardness in our conduct, we ought to endure and we ought to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ with discipline, having temperance, looking to him and obeying him in whatever command that he would have for us. Then he speaks also of a husbandman. He used an example of a soldier. Now he's using an example of a husbandman, a farmer, one who would plant crops and then partake of those crops. And he's saying the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. We need to be that example first and then show the way to others. Show that there's a conflict here. I'm not going to respond with wrath. I'm going to respond with peace. I'm going to respond with the way that the Holy Spirit would direct me in. So he speaks here of a husbandman. Then later he speaks also of a workman or a craftsman. Verse number 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." A workman, a craftsman. When we think of a craftsman, we think of one who labors many hours in a day on certain projects. And he's honed his skill very well for that which is his craft. And he's learned better ways. And he optimizes and continues to optimize. That is a craftsman. That is a workman. And then he doesn't need to be ashamed at his product. And so when the craftsman reveals his product, it's not flimsy. It doesn't break on the third use, but it's very well put together. It's very well put together. There's high quality in it. And so the Apostle Paul is using this analogy to young Timothy that you should study to show yourself approved unto God. Be a good example. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but he can rightly divide the word of truth. This is what he encouraged him. So he encouraged him as a soldier, encouraged him as this workman. And then he's also encouraging him as the example of a vessel, where he says, but in verse number 20, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor." So if we depart from iniquity, if we purge iniquity out of our lives, we shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, being set apart for God's use, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We're ready to do work because we've departed from iniquity. We don't have issues of iniquity abounding in our hearts. Pride has been put away. Selfishness has been put away. Thoughts of myself have been put away. But being filled with the Holy Spirit, walking and following after Jesus Christ in righteousness and faith and charity and in peace. Ready to do any good work that the Father would call us to. I'm not going to go verse by verse. We're running out of time already. But verse number 7 and verse number 8 has two adjectives here. Consider and remember. Excuse me, not adjectives, verbs. Consider and remember. Two action words. We are to consider the Word of God. We are to consider what He says. And then we are to remember them. We are to remember them. Last Sunday afternoon, we had a very good exhortation on being led of the Spirit. Being led of the Spirit. We should consider those words, and we should also remember them likewise. We should consider the Scriptures and what the Word says, and remember them, and then walk therein. He's saying that, according to his gospel, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And then he says, for that he suffers evil, or he suffers trouble, even as an evildoer. He's being treated as an evil man because he's preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of his crucifixion and the truth of his resurrection. And as he's teaching these things, he's being treated as an evildoer, as one who is stealing, as one who is cheating, as one who is causing an insurrection or other evil things. He's being treated in that way, and he's simply bringing forth the gospel of Christ. And then he says, this is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. We are dead with Christ. As Christ was placed in that tomb, that we also, our sin should be dead, and that we should be dead to iniquity, as we have departed from iniquity. And so we are dead with him, and then we can live with him. As Jesus rose from the dead, that we can also live with him. And if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Jesus Christ suffered. The Apostle Peter speaks of this in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. But even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Christ suffered for us. He's leaving us an example. Again, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're looking unto Jesus as the perfect example, and leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. We should follow after righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. We should follow in this way. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. They spoke evil of him while he was there upon the cross. And he didn't speak evil back to them. And if we follow after righteousness, we likewise will not revile anyone, even if we are reviled. And when he suffered, he threatened not. He suffered. That crown of thorns was placed firmly on his head. He was nailed there on the cross. His side was pierced. He suffered, but he didn't threaten. He could have called legions of angels to save him, but he didn't. But he committed himself to him who judges righteously. He bore our sins upon that tree. We are to follow in his ways. We are to be willing to suffer with him, and then we shall reign with him. And if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Then he says, if we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. If we deny him, how do we deny him? By not following our chief shepherd. This is how we deny him. He's leading us in the way of righteousness, in the way of faith, in the way of charity, in the way of peace. And if we decide that we are going to revile somebody or we're not going to depart from iniquity, then instead of following him, we take a hard left. We take a hard left, and we're no longer following him. And we deny him. That's how we deny him, by not walking in his ways. He will deny us, the Bible says. But if we believe not, it says, he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. The Lord Jesus will not deny himself, but he will deny us if we cease from following him. Then, towards the end of the chapter, he says, the servant of the Lord must not strive. If we're going to be an example of the believers, an example of one who has his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if we are going to be an example of the believers, we must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. So here's the fruit of the Spirit coming out. Gentleness. Gentleness because we are following the Lord. We are following in his way. We are gentle. We are patient, long-suffering, and meekness. Walking in that way. And this is going to be very powerful in our witness, in our example to those that are around about us. Again, whether that's at home, in the church, in the marketplace, at work, or at school, wherever it is that we find ourselves, we will be a very good example of the believers if we are gentle unto all men, patient, and have a meekness about ourselves, and not thinking that we should deserve any attention, but that all glory, everything goes to the Lord, because he is so worthy. He is so worthy. And yet he calls us to be worthy. He calls us to be an example of the believers. He's saying, what comes out of your mouth? Let it reflect that you've been born again. Whatever it is that you do, let it reflect that you've been born again. Let it reflect that you've departed from iniquity. That is in the past. You're not doing that anymore. And that you're following after righteousness and faith and love and peace. We can have a strong witness. We can draw others to Christ. Jesus is calling us to be a good example of the believers in everything that we do. And Jesus encouraged all there on the Sermon on the Mount for that time and throughout all time. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen.